Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Change my life. I want to change my life. Ah, how many of us say that every day? Well, we have got a wonderful repeat guest, King Arison, and I'll tell you what, he just has a knack for drums. It's absolutely incredible. And of course, that's the reason why he's the drummer for Neil Diamond. King, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is a delight. Now, I wanted to ask you a question because your lyrics for Change My Life, what were they inspired by?
Well, you know, I've had so much good life, so much beautiful life, and then yet I've had some lives that has just been, wow, what did I do wrong? I better look into this and make this a better way for myself. And that's how those lyrics came about. You know, I've had several marriages, several ups and downs, and then I decided, hey, you better change, and how else to do that but sing about it?
I think that's a wonderful way to do it. Now, King, I want my audience, because we have listeners that you were on a year ago, and you've come out with this new CD called Natural Feeling. And you related so much fascinating history about yourself, and I would like for my listeners that have not had the opportunity to hear your other music, I would like for them to know about your background, because to be over 30 years with such a renowned musician like Neil Diamond, I mean, he has just an awesome crew of people and musicians like yourself. Tell us how you first met Neil Diamond.
Well, I met Neil Diamond way back in 69. I did some recording on his early music, but we were not friends or anything. I was a studio musician. From 1967 to 1984, I was considered one of the top session musicians in the country. In Los Angeles, if not the country. So there was always a, what do you call a contractor, musical contractor. Mm-hmm. And I was usually one of the first people to be called to go on a session. And that's how I met Neil for the first time back in 69. I think one of the songs was either I Am, I Said, or one of those early hits that he had. Mm-hmm. But we became good friends when I did the song Suleiman. All the licks, all the drumming and percussion you hear on Suleiman, I was calling to do that. I think that was in the 70s, early 70s, 70 or 71. And from then on, he asked me would I come and work with him. Unfortunately, when he first asked me back in 72 and 73, I couldn't work with him because I was madly in love with Diana Ross. not that we were lovers. I just love her and love being with her. And I was playing. I was doing a couple. I was touring with her. And I was not going to leave her for anybody. I just liked looking at her. She was such a talented gal. And then, come 1974, I got another call from a guy named Dennis St. John, who was Neil Diamond's band leader at the time. He was a drummer. And he says, Neil wants to know if you would go on the road with us. And I says, well, if the price is right, this time, anything is possible. And that's how it got started.
Wow. What a beginning. And you spent over 30 years with him, and you are getting ready to go on a tour. Now, before we do get into that story, we're going to play your piece. It's track number 7, Bahama Funk. This is really nice.
Thank you.
Let's do it. So we're going to get to this just right now. That is so incredibly moving. And when I say moving, I don't think you can keep your fingers, your toes, anything to stop from just wanting to get up and move. Your music is infectious. I think if anybody was in the doldrums, all they'd have to do is put on your CDs, and it's like the blues would go away. This has a tremendous background to it. Tell us where you came from and how your love of drumming developed.
Well, I was born and raised in Nassau, Bahamas, and the love of drumming really developed in my father's grocery store. My father had several grocery stores, and when I was a youngster, about 4 years old, every time the lard cans or the box that holds the lard or whatever box or paper can or coffee can, we sold Folgers coffee, anything like that, empty out. When they empty out, that became my instrument. And that's how I developed my playing ability, by playing on anything that was open that can give me a sound. And the coffee cans, I would use the plastic wrap from Reynolds plastic wrap or things like that and wrap it over the thing with an electric, with an elastic band. And they became my drums. They were the first drums I had. Now, the crazy thing about it, by the time I got into my, I would say, early 11 or 13 years old, I had to walk at least a mile and a half to 2 miles or more for a bucket of water. You know, we came from a poor country at that time. Now, by the time I get to the pump, which was a public pump, everybody went there, that faucet, you know. Mm-hmm. I would beat a hole in a bucket every week before. I was driving my mom crazy because... By the time I got to the well and back, I can't bring water back because I already bust a hole in the bucket. And these were little metal cans, hold about 2 gallons or 3 gallons of water, some of them did. But there was no use for me. So my mother got wise, and she said, we better buy him some drums because he's going to broke us. You know?
We're number one, we're not going to have any water. Two, forget it.
I'm not getting any water, so... Because I'm going to beat the hell out of it by the time I get to and fro. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's do another piece. Because this CD, you have so many wonderful pieces on it. And you have variety. You go from intensely passionate, very vibrant musical arrangements, then into something sometimes that's a little smoother. But we're going to play a bongo special. It's track number 9, The Bongo Storm, of this new CD, Natural Feeling. So listen to this. If you thought the other one was going to inspire you, this one will too. Let's go. With Bongo Storm, there is so much instrumentation. I love the sax. That is such a wonderful instrument. It has such subtle tonalities. When someone's playing, who is playing the sax with you?
The sax has been played by a guy named Gene Redding.
He's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And he's an older guy, about 74, 75 now. And he's used to be into the top 10 sax players, jazz players in this country at one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's just amazing. He really makes that horn talk. It just is smooth and still.
As a matter of fact, we just did a film that he is now a professor for UNLV, and we did a film that will be shown all around the world next year with him leading and it's actually a movie that will go to all the schools in the entire universe, and he's responsible for it to try and get jazz to be recognized again.
You mean it's fallen out of favor? I think jazz that has been displayed by you and some other musicians that I've interacted with recently is just very profound. Has it fallen out of favor in the educational system?
It's been out of favor for a very long time now.
Why?
And it's the American music. Well, when it comes down to all of the rap and the hip hop and the rock and roll and that stuff, jazz has really taken a back street. I mean, we're almost buried, technically speaking. We have no more clout, but Gene is trying to right now with his UNLV has given him a dollar to produce his movie, and we're going to have a great film.
Well, and you just got back from being in Vancouver.
Yes, I just finished performing and starring in a movie called The Incredible Bongo Band in Vancouver, and that's looking very good as well. As a matter of fact, I did 3 movies this year already.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So you're doing the professor's movie, the one on the bongo band, and what's the third one?
And the third one is a movie called Beautiful Noise, the Drama. And this time I'm not a musician, I'm an actor.
Wow. Well, you're just having all kinds of fun, doing all kinds of unique things.
It's funny. They wait until I get old to hire me.
So you're saying don't ever give it up. Now, as a musician, music doesn't have an age to it. And I have noticed that people that are really passionate with music typically live long lives. Because there's something about music that creates a wellness modality, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, we have something to live for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, we got a message and a story to tell, and we got a reason to live.
I agree. I want to play another track from your CD. It's called No Substitute. And here you've combined the guitar, the sax, and the drums. Take a mm-hmm. listen.
Yeah.
The combination together. Now, the guitar is very subtle. It's in the background. The sax sound is just terrific. You have the drums. What types of drums do you work? I know you work with practically everything, but for someone that is listening, that's not familiar with drums, there's all kinds of different tonalities. You have had the bongos, which we played a piece from. You have all kinds of drums that you've used. If someone were interested in encouraging their child and they had a good lifetime supply of earplugs, what would you recommend for someone if they wanted to work on drums? You started off with cans, but if someone were in a position to really get into it, what would you recommend? How do you judge a good drum? What do you do to determine that this is the instrument for you?
Well, it depends on the, your sound, your air, what you're hearing, but for the most part, all of my drums were made for me specially. But I would start a kit off on a pair of cheap bongos and watch him get interested and grow into it before you go spend a whole lot of money on, because kids are funny. Mm-hmm. I just happened to know what my dream was and what I was born to be and do. So I, starting from cans and boxes and even a soup can, I knew that I was going to go certain places because I knew what my dream was. So I had drums made from, by the time I was 20 years old, I was in Japan, and I had my first set of drums made by Fuji Drum Shop. And I just knew, but I don't think everybody should go out and spend hundreds of dollars on their kits, on drum kits and all of that sort of stuff, until these kids really give in to being disciplined and committed to what they're going to do. You know, I have a son, Dane Diamond. He grew up with me in my house. Everything I have in the house, he can play. So anything he asks me to buy for him, I buy, whether mm-hmm. it's a piano, a saxophone, a drum set, whatever, because he is going to play. And right now he's playing places like the House of Blues and the Key Club, and I always mm-hmm. laugh with him and says, boy, you're doing so great, because I ain't never played the House of Blues, you know? And here's wow. my 26-year-old playing the House of Blues. Next month he's playing the Key Club. I mean, so, you know, you got to be careful with what you buy them. I even had a grand piano for my son by the time he was 5 years old. And he could play better than me at that time,
wow.
you know. So
now you brought up something, excuse me for interrupting you, King, but you brought up a point that's very interesting to me. Your son was not just interested in the drum, he was interested in multiple interests. And something I've become aware of, a lot of these schools for music, they don't want you to be an expert in one instrument. They want you to really have the capacity of working with different instruments.
Right, right.
And I didn't know you played the piano. So
yeah, I play. Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
Not very well, because my son plays the piano. I wrote songs by the piano, like the song you just heard, No Substitute, and Bongo Rock and all of this. I wrote it by the piano, but I picked notes, ping, 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 like that, and then I decided what I was going to do, and then I put a composition together. But my son can sit down to the piano and just spread all the fingers and get all the keys, and he makes me mad. because
shows up Dad. That's what he's doing. He's showing Dad up. That's all.
And I remember once I wrote a song. My first song I wrote for Eddie Kendricks when he left the Temptations. You know, the piano must be had witchcraft in it because I couldn't really play. I took 6 months of lessons. But when I sat down and put my fingers on the keyboard and start singing, my fingers were moving without me moving it, and I came up with a hit record. And back in 1989, I sat down to a piano to play a song and to write a piece called, it's on an album coming out real soon, it's called My Love. And I hit a note, and my one-year-old boy, or however old Dane was at the time, pushed me aside and says, "No, Dad, that's not the chord." And he struck the right chord. And that chord ended up being one of the prominent chords in the piece of music, you know. So
1 year old and he does this. Amazing.
From just being born with it, he just knew what to do.
Incredible.
And he's still doing it to this day.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
King, you have such a passion for this, and you're still involved with working, and you're very supportive of music on multiple levels. You are going to be touring with Neil this year, coming year of 2011. Where are you going to be going?
Well, starting January, we'll rehearse from January to the middle or the first week of February. Then we take off for New Zealand, three or four different parts of New Zealand. And then we take off for Australia, four different cities there. And then we go to South Africa, four different cities there. And then I'm waiting now to hear what happens after that.
Wow. So you have got a full schedule, and I know your lovely wife is in Australia right now, waiting for you to come over and join her. Let's play another piece that you have. It's the track number 13, Still in Love. Let's play that.
Okay.
Has such a nice mood to it. And King, when I'm listening to it, it's really good dance. A lot of what you've put together is good dancing music. And
Yes. It
also has, this Still in Love has a little bit, not much, but just a very subtle undertone of softness and melancholy that I just perceive when I'm listening to it. That's my perspective. But I listen to it, and yet there's a buoyancy in it as well. Was there something special that motivated you to write this piece?
I wrote that piece a while back. I was, yeah. deeply in love with a girl who I later married, who later... you ever heard the song called I Lean My Back Against an Oak, thinking it was a sturdy tree? And then first it bowed and then it broke, the same as my love did to me. So,
oh, my goodness. So I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's one of those things. And I'm a romantic, but I like being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to do something, it has to be the truth, and it has to be of what I'm feeling. And it's not always nice, but it is what it is.
I can understand. I know we're just about out of time, King. And I'd like to say, ask first, do you have a website that people can go to find
out? Yeah, you can go to kingharrison.com, or you can even find me on Facebook these days.
Aha, uh-huh. Boy,
yeah.
You're coming staffy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting to be really sharp. And then you can also go to my webpage and find my resort.
That's right.
In the Bahamas. And there's a lot to see about King Harrison, www.kingharrison.com.
And the Harrison is spelled E-R-R-I-S-S-O-N. E-R-I-S-S-O-N. King, it has been a joy having you as a guest. Thank you so much. And when you come out with that next CD or your book or a movie, be sure to give me a copy.
Well, the book is coming.
Woohoo! Good deal.
Yeah, the book is coming. The book is finished. Just waiting for editing and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then, like I said, next year there'll be 3 movies. So.
Well, you have to let me know.
I will.
All right, King. This is Donna Sebo, kingharrison.com. That's kingherrison.com. Listen in. This music is wonderful. And if you enjoy drums, if you like vitality, if you like smooth sax, this is a wonderful CD, Natural Feeling. King, again, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz and chat, have a reading on the air, I would be delighted. Here's the telephone number for you to call into, no matter where you are in the world, 888-815 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. People like King Arison are really the type of person that's very inspirational, I think. This is a man who's been involved with music all of his life. He's got a fascinating story. But more than that, he's continuing on. As he's maturing, he's not planning on leaving the area of music, and he just keeps his interaction going on. And I think it's a wonderful demonstration to any of us, no matter what our love is, no matter what our passion is, that we realize that sometimes we may have to shift our direction in the stream that we may be flowing through of activity and professionalism. But sometimes it's good to get out of the stream that you're in, get up on the bank and decide what you want to do next. Maybe you want to go overland on a different path and find a new stream to get involved with. And you just never know what opportunities life is going to bring you. Yesterday, because we had callers, I wasn't able to share a story with you. And before I go into this story, I want to mention again the phone number for you to call into if you'd like to have a free reading on the air, 888-815-9756. This, I think, is important because it's so easy to look at what's not right in life instead of taking the time to really think about what is right in life. This is about a woman, we'll call her Cheryl. She always had something to whine about. She didn't make enough money, she couldn't afford the things she wanted, and consequently, in her mind's view, she could never amount to anything. She wasn't famous, she didn't have this, she didn't have that. She would always look at life in that way. Well, she was going to a counselor, and her counselor, who was quite a wise individual in my estimation, said, "You are throwing your energy away complaining instead of using it to get ahead." Now think about those words for a minute. You're throwing your energy away complaining instead of using that energy. She used it. I'll put in the words that energy to get ahead. Well, what do you think Cheryl's response was? The typical one that people will have. "But you don't understand." How many times have we heard that? "You don't understand. The job is the problem, not me." Again, this wise counselor said to Cheryl, "Your low-paying job may be a problem, and your boss may demand too much. But if you are continually upset, you are causing yourself more harm than either the job or the boss." Well, something started to get through in Cheryl's hamster wheel spin of thinking, and she then asked the counselor an important question. "What can I do? What can I do?" The counselor said to her, "You cannot control your boss or the job, but you can control how you feel about them. Change your attitude." For some reason, Cheryl got the message. She did a turnaround. When she stopped whining, she would literally put a mental clamp in her mind, on her mouth, as soon as she got the urge to whine. When she stopped whining, the people around her noticed it. They were paying attention to the changes in her behavior. At her job, she got a promotion. With the change in the job, the promotion that she got, she was going to be able to be more marketable into a different job positioning because she was gaining new experience. Within a few months, Cheryl found that she had the opportunity to transfer out of the department into a brand new position with an even higher pay level and a different boss who was much more supportive. Cheryl's story, I think, is significant. We have so many people. And I was listening to someone talk about a friend that reminded me of Cheryl, and that's why I bring this up. I was listening to a woman discussing a friend who had been an executive, had made a great deal of money, ended up because the company they were working for went under. They go on unemployment benefit. They're getting hundreds of dollars a week because they had a six-figure income. They have been living on their unemployment for 2 years, and she said, this friend is comfortable. They didn't have a whole bunch of bills. They say they're out really looking for work, but she said, my friend has really become a bum. And this gal I was listening to said she would be really thrilled if the unemployment benefits were not extended. She said, this person has become literally a mental and physical couch potato. We must take responsibility for ourselves. And it's very easy to complain. And during these times, businesses are having a difficult time because of the economy, keeping their heads above water. And if you have people that are really good and talented, there's an opportunity, even if they're making lesser money. It's okay. Try something new. I know of an executive who was making buku bucks. Same thing happened to him. This was a few years ago. He had a son-in-law that needed some help with his brand new business because the son-in-law didn't have the experience that his father-in-law had. Well, the father-in-law was encouraged by the wife to go and help this family member. So he was getting up and going into work every single day, not making a penny. It was over a year after he started that someone who had been looking for him, that had been aware of him because he was very skilled at what he did, and they finally found him, and they said, gee, we'd love to have you come to work for us. He said, well, I'm not too sure about that because, you know, I've got this job that I've had. He wasn't telling them that he didn't make a penny off of it. It didn't make any difference. And his son-in-law was benefiting just immensely from what he was learning from his family relative. Well, as it turned out, he ended up being offered a job with a company that really could use his skill. His pay level was different, but he was back working in the environment he really wanted to be a part of. Solving problems was his skill. No matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, there is a place for you. And even if you have to do something in the interim that maybe you don't like, that's all right. Look at it as Cheryl wisely was counseled, as an opportunity to gain a level of recognition, one, as being a cooperative personality, two, focusing on what she could do it well, even though she was in a job that was not what she really wanted, and three, develop a cooperative interaction with the people around her. Nobody wants to have a whiner for an employee. If you got a job in the mailroom, they're going to keep you in the mailroom because they don't have to listen to you. But if you're willing to learn, you're open, you're receptive, and you stop complaining, you're going to find that somewhere, at some point, someone's going to say, I want that kind of person in my environment. I like that kind of individual. It doesn't make any difference what the industry is, whether it's a food industry, maybe you want to be a top-notch chef, maybe you just want to be a hash house cook, it doesn't make any difference, or dealing with animals. I was at a gathering last night where I had a chance to talk to some business people, and one was a woman who had a very good friend that had started a business, and because of the economy, her store, she had to close it. Well, then she recognized, because she loved animals, that people really wanted a place where they could bring their animals. And she's just opened up a doggy hotel, and she's got business coming in right and left. Now, she still has to tend to marketing, letting people know. But here was something that a year ago she wouldn't have even considered. It wasn't until she lost what she had working for her in the way of a wonderful boutique retail store and came up with this other concept because she was listening to people complaining about them not having a place to leave their pets. Got the doggy hotel, converted her space into something different, and she's got business. And it is growing, and she is thrilled. She's happy with what she's doing. This is a conversation I had last night with someone. Remember, no matter where you are, it is not cast in concrete. there is going to be something or somebody or an opportunity that may show itself. And remember one other thing. Open your mouth and let people know that you're looking for work. Let them know that you're open to learning new things. Let them know what your strengths are and even your weaknesses. And you may find that somebody's been trying to find you for a long time because they need somebody that can be a part of their business, that has integrity, personality, persistence, consistency, and follow through. Remember, you have to walk the walk. So like Cheryl, don't complain. It doesn't make any difference. You live in a free country. You can leave environments you do not choose to be a part of. But remember, sometimes you have to walk a road of experience before someone's going to recognize your value. That happened to Cheryl, and it can happen with any one of us. But opportunity is always there. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Quickly, I want to remind those of you who are listening from the Western Washington area that I am going to be appearing at King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. And this is for a special event, the Dickens Fair, that's into its fifth year here in the Pacific Northwest. It is a wonderful family event occurring on December the 11th. And there's all kinds of activities. You can look up Dickens Fair, Tacoma, Washington, and you'll get all of the fine details. I will be doing many consultations at the King's Bookstore from 11 until 4. I will be there and no appointment necessary, and part of the proceeds will be donated to the organization that is putting all of this event together. They have charities that they support every year. So I invite you to come on. Have a wonderful time. The weather is going to be brisk and crisp, and this event held in the Tacoma, Washington area is absolutely awesome. It's called the Stadium section of town, and they've got carriage rides. It is family-oriented 100%, so I hope you'll join me. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and have that pad of paper and pen handy. I've got a recipe for a pumpkin pecan pie that I think is pretty good. I don't know. I've had so many things cross my desk. I don't know if I share this with you, but it's worth sharing. This is cool. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. All you need to do is call in to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I was in Seattle today, and I was walking around. I'll tell you, it is a magical, magical city, especially this time of year. I think it's magical anyway. But with all of the holiday decorations that are up, and there's so many wonderful places to go into. And I have to share with you that I was in this particular locale. I was with friends, and they said, oh, we wanted a cup of tea. And they said, all right, let's go over here. There's this little tea shop. And to my surprise, and it's called actually a tea bar. And this store was loaded with all of these Chinese teas. I mean, they were just lining the walls, great big glass jars. And here is this magnificently designed tea bar. And when you sit down, they give you these little tiny trays upon which is a little tiny teacup. It has no handles. It is a Chinese teacup. And they make tea for you. You can sample any of the teas, and it was an awesome experience. When we were there, we were told why the teas were good medicinally and what they were good, you know, how you could use them, how you prepare them, and that certain teas, like a white tea or a green tea, and I know many of you who are listening will fix this for yourself. They said never use boiling water with a white tea or a green tea because these are the young shoots of tea and they do not take well to boiling temperatures. So for me, and I'm an avid tea drinker, I just love tea. So I typically will have a pot or two of tea, especially when I'm reviewing all of the books that I have to prepare for upcoming shows. So I do this early in the morning, and my tea tradition is one that I cherish, that and the time to do what I need to do in the quiet of the early morning hours. But I had no idea that the temperature of your water with the green tea or the white tea made a difference. She said you want it hot, but you don't want it boiling. So I'm passing that along to you. But what I was wanting to share with you is if you have an opportunity in your local community or in whatever city, if you're in New York, you've just got so much to choose from. But wherever you are, you don't have to have a lot of money to have a lot of fun. You can just have these experiences with these places, and they welcome people to come in and to try the different teas, and they give you all kinds of history about tea. I had no idea that there were certain teas that the Chinese will take the tea bark and the tea leaves, and they pack them into discs, and those discs are put into storage facilities, and you have a 5-year tea, you can have a 1-year tea, you have a 5-year tea, and you can have a 45-year tea, and each and every one of them have a particular benefit to you when you drink it. Have you ever had a rose tea? Oh, it's amazing. They say usually the women like that. That would be very true. It was deliciously fragrant and sweet in tasting, no sugar being added. It is just an incredible experience that we had today. And so I thought I would share that with you. When you're going out for the holidays, don't worry necessarily about going out and doing a whole bunch of shopping. Enjoy your environments. Find these little nooks and crannies that you can be involved with, that you can test out. Look and step into stores that maybe deal with the Alaskan culture, or sometimes like we stepped into a store that was loaded with all kinds of wonderful products from South America, Mexico. The artistry is amazing. When you can do that, your world just expands, and it's a lot of fun. And it creates a magic for the holidays that I find just absolutely fabulous. It's just wonderful. So I encourage you to do this. And if you have little kids, put them in the stroller, drive them around, take them to a museum. Just do that. I watched at a museum today, Picasso. There was an exhibit there. I saw over 60 youngsters from the second grade coming in and looking at art. Of course, they looked at some of his stuff and they go, huh? Anyway, go and enjoy whatever is around you. You don't have to have hundreds of dollars. You can feast your mind, your eyes, your spirit, and your soul right where you are. And if there's a neat community that's near you that has all kinds of wonderful stores, go. Go and just enjoy. And, you know, just do that. I can remember when my husband and I, we had maybe $5 between us, and we stopped at this Four Seasons Hotel in Seattle whenever we could, and we purposefully would go in and just have tea. Great stuff. I encourage you to do the same. You do not have to be a millionaire to enjoy the beauty of the season. I encourage you to do that. Okay, I have a little bit of time here. What I want to do is give you this recipe. You know, I do think I passed it out to you, so let me switch. I think I gave it to you the other day. This is a pumpkin pecan pie, and I didn't make a notation, but as I'm looking at it, oh, heck, I'll give it to you again anyway. Pumpkin pecan pie is really great, but I... No, change my mind. Not going to do that because I've done it. I'm going to give you a caramel apple cheesecake. My memory bank is working appropriately. I opened up my recipe mental file cabinet and said, no, I've already done this. But if you have missed it, go back into the archives. It was done a couple of shows ago. This is a caramel apple cheesecake, and it is yummy. You're going to need about 1.5 cups of ground cinnamon graham crackers, and that's 1.5 cups of that. 6 tablespoons of butter, you want that melted. 4 packages, 8 ounces each, which is 16 ounces of cream cheese. You want a 1 2/3 cup of sugar, 1 2/3 cup of sugar, 5 eggs, 1 8-ounce container of sour cream, the real stuff, no low fat here. You need the fat in this. 1/4 cup of flour, that's regular flour, unsifted, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of fat-free caramel topping, 1 apple cored, cut it into wedges, and 2 cups of sweetened whipped cream. Okay, let's give it to you here because this is good. I mean, after all, if you're going to have a good dessert, there are times maybe you want a low fat, but trust me, a little sliver of something that's really made well with the right ingredients is going to be better than a super chunky size of something that isn't. And don't think the fat will put pounds on you. It's only when you eat the whole thing that you're going to end up looking like a well-packed cheesecake. So here we go. Position a rack in the center of the oven. You want to preheat your oven to 325 degrees. You want to coat a 9x3 springform pan, you want a removable bottom on it, with cooking spray. Now, you want to wrap the outside of your pan with heavy foil. Why? You don't want this flowing over. You want it to rise up, and that's why you need to wrap the outside of the pan with heavy foil. You're going to combine your cinnamon graham crackers that you have zipped into crumbs. This is where a Cuisinart, your food processor, whatever you use, is really good. I don't like blenders for making crumbs. I really like the Cuisinart unit. And then you're going to mix the crumbs and the butter together, press into the bottom of the pan, and that takes you all of just a minute, less than a minute, if you use your unit. Bake 6 minutes or until set. Once you've pressed it into the bottom of the pan, you bake it 6 minutes at 325, and it's going to firm up very nicely. Then you place a deep roasting pan on your center oven rack, and you want to fill this pan halfway with water. Okay? Fill it with water. Close the oven door, and the water's going to get warm. Now, while that's heating up, on medium, you're going to beat your cream cheese and your sugar until it's silky smooth, and then put the speed on your mixer to low. You beat in your next 4 ingredients, which are your eggs, your sour cream, 8 ounces of sour cream, your 1/4 cup of flour, and your 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract. And you want it again. You want to beat it until it's silky smooth. Now, you're going to take 2 cups of that batter, moving it to a bowl, and you want to mix in 1/2 cup of the topping, and you pour the remaining batter into the pan. Now, you pour in a circular pattern the caramel batter into your pan, and then you can take a toothpick and you can create a swirl with the caramel into the batters, and then you put this pan that is filled with your cream cheese mixture, you put that in the middle of your roasting pan. And you want to do that very, very carefully. You want to bake it for 1 hour and 25 minutes, just until the center of that cheesecake jiggles slightly when it's shaken. You want to turn your oven off, do not open up the door, and let the cake stand in the oven for 1 hour. You're going to remove your cheesecake after that. You want to run the knife around the outside edge of the crust inside the pan. You do not remove it from the pan, and you just let it cool on a rack on your kitchen counter. And once it's cooled, and it's so dense, it's going to take maybe a couple of hours. Once it's cooled, then you refrigerate it. And then what you want to do is, for your really delicious topping, you're going to take a broiler rack, put it 8 inches from your broiler, and you line a pan with foil, toss the apples with 2 tablespoons of the topping, the caramel topping, you arrange it on the pan, and you broil the apples with the caramel until they're softened. Cool it, and before you serve, arrange the apples on top of the cake and drizzle with the remaining topping, and then garnish it with your sweetened whipped cream. Yum. Get good Washington apples when you do this, too. We have the best. This is Donna Sebo. I do know we're out of time, and we're going to play King's music. We'll be back with you on Monday. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy. Enjoy the music that is going to fill your ears. Natural feeling. Bye for now.
Been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.